All right, Proverbs 19 and 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That phrase stood out to me, and I want to use that as a subject today. Lending to the Lord, lendeth to the Lord. You have pity on the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Father, I just thank you right now for your presence that we have already felt in this place. It has been so unmistakable, God. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful congregation, Lord God, that has given me a chance, Lord God, to lead the way, Lord God. And I just want to thank you, Lord God, for you you helping me, Lord. Father, I thank you that I don't stand up here in and of myself, but I just stand up in here, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Ghost that you have placed in me, God. So I'm asking you with that same power that you would allow me to impart your words, God, not my own, but I pray that you'll build this church up in the holy faith. Strengthen us, God. Let us move forward, Lord God, in the future, stronger than we ever have been before. Bless every person of the sound of my voice, and even those who are at home. Lord, anybody not feeling well, God. Lord, I've heard of numerous people who are not feeling well. We know the changing of the weather, but I just pray for them even right now that you strengthen and heal their bodies, Lord. Prevent any, I bind any outbreaks in the name of Jesus. Right now, I take authority over any invisible thing that would try to plague these people in the name of Jesus. God, we know you have authority over those things that are seen and not seen. In Jesus' name, we believe you for it. Keep us safe in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated at this time. Amen. I just wanted to put that in there. Ain't nothing wrong with us praying as we go into flu and cold season and all them things. Lord, no. Lord is bigger. Lord is greater. Y'all believe that? Amen. The Lord is bigger and he's greater. All right. He that hath pity on the poor, he lendeth unto the Lord. Lending unto the Lord. What could we lend unto the Lord? When the psalm declares, the Lord through the psalmist declares, for every beast of the forest is mine. Check this out in Psalms 50 and 10. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills, who does that belong to? We all know it belongs to the Lord. So what could you lend to the Lord when he already owns everything? Amen. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. And if I were hungry, I wouldn't be having my hand out looking at you. The scripture says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Amen. Another psalmist declares, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? How many people know that you're here because the Lord has blessed you? How many blessed folk out there and you recognize it wasn't because of you and all the things you did? Amen. Well, I appreciate your efforts. Amen. Go to school and do all those things. But make sure that after you get that degree, you remember the Lord. Oh, I wish I could have got some more amens because I wouldn't have dwelt on that so long. Make sure that after you get that job, you remember the Lord. Make sure after you get that new car, amen, after you get a little bit more money in your bank account, amen, after you lose the weight, after you get your hair done or whatnot, make sure you remember the Lord. Somebody better give God praise. Help the pastor out. Amen. How soon we get blessed, but we forget the blessor. Amen. How soon we get lifted up in self. Amen. And we have all these accolades after our name and we forget the one that gives us breath in our body. And we forget that you can't take none of those degrees along with you. Amen. Only what you do for Christ will last. Can we give the Lord one more praise today? Amen. All right. Now, I do want to say this. In Jesus's ministry here on earth, he had very few material possessions. The scripture declares in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Amen. That ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen. We can read Philippians 2 and 6, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a what? Of a servant. Come on here. And was made in the likeness of men. Amen. Oh, we got a baptism today. Amen. We give God praise for that. Somebody praise him. Amen. Just let me know when they come up and we'll make room for that. We always make room. Anybody else want to go down in Jesus' name? Right in the middle of the message, you can go down in Jesus' name. Amen. I like that. I love how the Lord just intervenes or just interjects his presence in the service at various times. Thank God. I'm believing somebody for the Holy Ghost on today as well. Amen, somebody. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. So Jesus had relinquished all of his eternal riches, and he steps out of eternity and out or down into time. Amen. And he did that for you and for me. Amen. And he dwelt among men, and during his ministry had very little things that he had with him. You know, he says the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have nowhere to even lay his head. And you think before Jesus got crucified, or when he got crucified, rather, the Roman guards, all he had was just the clothes that were on his back, and they parted lots for it. They cast lots for it, amen, and divided up his last possessions that he had, all right? So he didn't have much at all, and he had to borrow. I mean, anybody been in that position before where you've had to borrow? Had to have your hand out, but I thank God that it don't always last that way. Amen. Thank God that he has a way of turning things around in our lives where we don't always have our hand out. Amen. The one who has his hand out, amen, to receive also now can have his hand out to give. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. The trouble don't last always. Amen. He even had this conditional promise that he had made to Israel. And we went over here to the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, in Deuteronomy. He tells them, I'll make you the head and not the tail. We'll get there in just a little while. But, you know, there's a reason why a lot of us, we don't want to loan our stuff out. Anybody have a trouble loaning your stuff out? I mean, because folks just don't have they have a tendency, you know, not to take care of ourselves. And no wonder we don't want to, you know, let folks borrow things because people tear your stuff up. You know, I mean, you can go through some things and they'll make you hold on to some stuff real, real tight. You get a death grip on what the little things, possessions you have because of, you know, the trauma. You know, you loaned them something and you got it back. You loaned it one way and it came back a whole nother way. I was watching in the news here recently this story, and they did an update on this. Actually happened in 2008. There was this little boy named Corey, I think his name was Worthington, and it was world news. He lived in Australia and his parents had gone out of town. Went on vacation, and they, you know, left him there. Okay, you can stay in the house. We, you know, you've come to age right now. We feel like we can trust you. You can have a few friends over. Amen. Don't have too many friends over. So as soon as mom and dad get to the airport, as soon as they take off in the plane, and back in them days, they didn't have no Facebook or Instagram, but he gets on his MySpace page, and he says, parents away. It's going to be epic. It's going to be great. Party going down at my house. And all of a sudden, 500 people ascend on this one little bitty house. Amen. Come in there, begin to party real wild, have alcohol and all types of things, start tearing up the property. The neighbors get involved in it. And then all of a sudden, the police come. And next thing you know, is a whole riot of a situation. Amen. Things just all kinds of problems breaking out, police getting involved. Next thing you know, helicopters flying over the house. And mom and dad got to come home from their vacation. And here this boy is standing on the news, unremorseful, wearing his yellow sunglasses, looking in the cameras and just saying, well, you know, I just kind of messed up. You know, folks, you know, that's why people don't want to loan their kids certain things. Your 16-year-old son or daughter wants to use the car, and sometimes we have trouble loaning them certain things because that outrageous behavior isn't just an isolated event. You know, a whole lot of teenagers have damaged property, you know, wrecked homes, wrecked cars, and done all kinds of things, and consequently, a lot of parents don't want to loan their kids anything. All right, and sometimes it's hard to let anybody borrow something. You know why? Because when you loan something out, a lot of times folks get what? Amnesia. You loan me what? When? What's your name again? Blocked your number, you out of their contacts, and you don't hear from them no more, amen? And they forget all about what you've loaned them, all right? But it's important to take care of other people's property, amen? So fortunately, God has a way of blessing us, though. Let's go here to Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Y'all still with me? Let me just set this up today. Verse number 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations. He'll make you the lender and not the borrower. And thou shalt not borrow. Amen. Has anybody in here experienced God turning things around for them? Holler back at me if God's turned something around for you. Real talk. Real talk. I mean, you used to be at the payday loan place all the time. Every check, it seemed like you just needed an extension. But God turned things around. Amen. Gave you a little bit more sense to know how to manage your money. helped your scruples out, gave you a little bit more of a stewardship within you, and you were able to handle things better. And what else did he say? And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments. Amen. So this was a conditional promise. So he has a, we love that when the Lord would make us the lender rather than the borrower. But what would happen when Jesus needs to borrow? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, even right now, we thank you for this soul going down in your name. Father, fill with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, God. Transform this life, God. We thank you for this decision. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, my dearly beloved, upon a confession of your faith and the confidence which you have in the blessed word of God concerning his death, burial, and resurrection, I now indeed baptize you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And with a repentant heart, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name.
Come on. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. That's all right. Give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else want to go down in Jesus' name? Amen. Oh, I love it. Amen. I'm up here tired already trying to minister to you. The Holy Ghost just came through this place in praise service. Amen. I give God praise for that. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Somebody give me one more praise today. Amen. But what happens, again, when Jesus needs to borrow something from you? What you going to say? How much interest you going to charge Jesus? How tight you going to hold on to whatever, you know, the Lord has blessed you with? I mean, are you going to be a tight wad with the one that gave it to you? Amen. Because we do understand that everything belongs to him in the first place. John 1:3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. How many people know he created the whole world? Everything that you have is because of him. Amen. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. What are you going to do when he come knocking on your door needing a loan or needing to borrow something from you? What are you going to do? You're going to refuse Jesus? Amen. How many people are gladly, Lord, whatever you need from me, I'll be willing. I'll be a willing vessel. Amen. Loaning, amen, to the Lord on today. Amen. So Jesus, throughout his lifetime, he borrowed many different things. All right. First thing that we can look up in the scripture is he borrowed Peter's boat. Y'all remember that story? Borrowed Peter's boat, Luke 5:1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little for the land. So Jesus needed a pulpit to begin to talk to all these people, and he saw a boat, and he used that boat as his floating pulpit, and he got to minister on Simon Peter's boat. But by the time that he got done with it, amen, how many people here know that Jesus ain't going, he's just, you know, your mama should have taught you not to, when you borrow something from somebody, you return and you leave it better than you when you borrowed it. Hello? Y'all get that lesson already? If you borrow something from somebody, you always return it better than the way that you borrowed it. That's why when we go to camp, we always clean up that campground. And fortunately, by the time Agape leaves the campground that we've rented, it looks a little bit better and it smells a little fresher than what it did when we came there. Give the Lord some praise, somebody. Amen. Amen. But Jesus is going to follow the same rule. Amen. If he borrows something from you, by the time you're going to get it back, hallelujah to God, it'll be a little bit better than it was, amen, when you loaned it out to him. All right, so he loans Peter, or Peter loans him his boat. He launches out, and when he comes back from the boat, he tells this old tired fisherman who had been fishing all night long and had caught absolutely nothing. He told him, he says, you know, launch out again, all right? Go on out here again. And Peter looks at him after fishing all night long. Imagine how frustrated you would be when you caught absolutely nothing. The scripture even tells us he had washed his nets by then, folded them up, put them away. He's ready to go home and tell his wife that he hadn't made anything at all. All right. But Jesus said, just give it one more opportunity. Launches out again, and this time catches a multitude of fish, the scripture begins to say. So many fish that the boat is filled up, and he has to call another boat over to get all the fish. And the boats begin to sink down. Scripture tells us that Peter began to fall down to his knees in front of Jesus and begin to confess that he was a sinner. And the Lord picks him up, and he turns his whole life around. Henceforth, you're not going to be just a fisherman, but I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. Don't you tell me what God can't do. Whatever you would lend unto God, if you would just let God borrow what you have, God will make you better. Somebody who believes it today, give God some praise. I dare you to give Jesus a loan today. I dare you to loan your time, your effort, your energy, your substance to the Lord. I dare you to take what little that you have and put it in the hands of the Master and watch what God can do. All of time would permit, I can go through the scriptures today and tell you a lot of stories. Let's go here today. Tell you a little boy about a little boy who had a lunch. All he had was just a little lunch. Mama has sent him off with just a little bit of lunch. And watch what God, little is much when God is in it. Go with me to John chapter number 6 and verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company, a whole lot of folk come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread? So Jesus is asked, how are we going to feed all these people? As if Jesus didn't already understand. He already knew what was up. He saw the problem. He's not just reacting to problems. He already saw that there was a whole lot of more people, that they were outnumbered and out-resourced, that there was a lot more people than they had bread. He understood the problem. And let me tell you this, God understands your problem as well. Somebody, you need to believe God on today. He understands what you're up against. He understands that you got more bills than money. He understands that you got more problems than you have solutions. But if you would just take what little that you have, my God, and trust Jesus with it, watch what God can do. Come on here in verse number 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew, what does the scripture say? He knew what he would do. How many people know that he already knows what he's going to do? The only reason why he just brought your attention to the problem is just so you can turn your eyes to Jesus. Somebody in here, that's all the only reason why he woke you up to the fact that you had that bill or that you had that problem, so that you can get your eyes off of the problem and onto the one who can solve the problem. Somebody give God praise again today. Oh, yeah. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread ain't enough to feed these people, amen, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a little lad out there, little boy out there got some fish. Mama brought him some fish. It was 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, and that's all they had. And look what Jesus says. Look what he says. But what are they among so many is what they said. And Jesus said, make the man sit down. Get somewhere and sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about how many? 5,000 people. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he began to distribute them. Amen. Begin just to spread them out. And it was so much from this little bitty boy's lunch. A little boy with a little lunch began to feed the whole multitude of people. My God, don't you tell me that God can't stretch what you have. Even your mama and your daddy knew how to stretch stuff. Some of you all, you had rice with every meal. You know what? That was just a filler. Stretching a little bit more. Some of you all, you know how to take a bag of vegetables and put it down in the stew, or put a little bit more chicken broth in the soup to stretch it a little bit more. If your parents knew how to stretch something, what makes you think that God doesn't know how to stretch what you have? Some of you all in here sitting there right now, you don't know how that little check is going to pay all of your bills, and got that little bitty penny ante job with that little bitty check, but yet you got all of your bills paid. My God, got food in the refrigerator, food in the pantry, clothes on your back. Everything that you have, God, has been supplied, my God, because little is much when God is in it. Can you give God some praise again today? Oh, yeah. God knows how to stretch some things. Boy, if we had time just to go around here and testify a little bit more, we'd tell you stories about how tuitions have been paid, how folks have gotten scholarships, how loans have been forgiven, how checks have come in the mail, how God is just blessed out of nowhere, how God has made a way, how somebody just had faith in God and trusted him, and they watched what God could do. Can't God turn things around for you, somebody? Hallelujah. Got to get down in that poverty along with you and bring you out. Amen. Take what you have and loan it unto the Lord. Give him that little lunch. Give him that little boat. He'll do a whole lot more with that little lunch than you could. That little lunch was always going to do feed one little boy until it got in the master's hand. Oh, all that boat was going to do is just take one little tired fisherman with no catch home. That's all it would do until it got into the master's hand. I wish somebody would take your resources, loan unto the Lord. Also borrowed, we can go on in the scripture, he borrowed a donkey. You know the story. Just come with me in scripture. I'm about to let you go in just a little while. I'm not going to be before you long. Luke chapter number 19 and verse 30 saying, check this out. Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied. He borrowed this donkey. Didn't even have a donkey to ride on. Whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. The Lord has need of some of you all, what you have. I wonder what you're going to do. You're going to hold on to it so tight. Amen. Sometimes you can hold on to something so tight, you'll kill it. I can tell you some stories. I don't want to embarrass nobody, but I heard a story about somebody holding on to a little pet they had, a little hamster or rabbit. Wouldn't let nobody hold it. Held on so tight. And all of a sudden, by the time they let that little thing go, the thing was just dead in their hands. Amen? We got to trust God with what we have. Amen? And relinquish things and put it in the Lord's hands. Check this out. And so they went and untied that colt. And it was that same colt that never a man has sat on that donkey before. And after that, that was probably the greatest load that that donkey had ever carried by carrying Jesus in. And that was the first Palm Sunday. Somebody give the Lord praise. I mean, what a privilege for us to be able to use our substance, to use our time, to use the things that we have for the Lord's use. Come on with me to Mark chapter number 14. So he borrowed a boat. He borrowed a little boy's lunch, borrowed a donkey, and he borrowed one of the upper room that he borrowed one day. All right. Come on with me, Mark chapter number 14 and 13. And he sendeth forth two of his disciples. I wonder what you're going to give the Lord. What you're going to let the Lord use of yours. And saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Lord got a way of working some stuff out, working behind the scenes. You know, he don't even want Judas to be privy to this because, you know, he already knows that Judas is the betrayer. So we're not going to let you be hip to where we're going. And so I got things going on behind the scenes. I don't know if he worked on the man through a dream or through a vision, or perhaps he pulled him to the side and talked to the man. But check this out. The man was carrying something. It was almost done in a secrecy behind this type of thing. A pitcher of water. Normally the women would carry the pitchers of water, but this time you're going to see a man carry a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Where is this place? Where is this upper room? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And so in this borrowed room, the Lord has a Passover. The Lord has this last final meal with his disciples. In this upper room, the Lord washes the feet of his disciples. And it is in that same upper room after Jesus dies and rises again and goes off the scene. He says, tarry ye here in Jerusalem till ye receive power from on high. It's that same upper room that 120 people came. My God, and the Holy Ghost fell in that room. Any believers in here on today, come on, give the Lord some praise today. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I've read it enough. We already know. So he borrows a donkey. Hold on. What was the first thing he borrowed? A boat. A lunch. A donkey. An upper room. And you know, even after Jesus died, he borrowed a tomb. Just stay with me for a minute. Let me just set this up. Hey, let me just stay here for a minute. Matthew 27 and 57. Maybe I'll holler. I'll try to holler the best I can. I've been hollering already throughout the whole service. Just sit there and get the word today. Amen. Matthew 27 and 57. Actually, let's skip on down to verse 59. And when Joseph had taken the body of Jesus, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his... Y'all here? Anybody home? Where'd he lay it? Laid it in his own tomb. In other words, this was a borrowed tomb that Jesus laid in. It was not his own. He didn't even have enough money to even bury him, bury himself. A borrowed tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Amen. This fulfills, we can go to Isaiah 53 and 9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence. Amen. You go down to a cemetery today, ain't no bar. You can't just rent a tomb. You know why? Because they realize that you're going to be there for a little while. Not right? But not Jesus. Jesus understood that 3 days later, I'm going to give you this tomb back. I'm just borrowing this tomb just temporarily. Give me 3 days, and in 3 days, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give it better. Oh, my God. I'm going to give it back with some increase. Give it back with some dividends. I'm coming back not just with the grave that I borrowed, but I'm coming back with some eternal life. Not just for you, Joseph of Arimathea, but anybody who would believe, you can have eternal life. Come on, some. That was a good place for you to give God praise right there. My God. Oh! Eternal life for everybody. 3 days later from a borrowed tomb. My God. All right, now let's go over here to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14. Oh, I'm so glad I got eternal life. Ooh, I know some of you all, you're so glad that you got your hair done, or you got a new car, or you got a nice house to live in, or you finally got that degree, or you went to school and all these things. And I'm not slighting all those. That's a great thing. I got some degrees too. Under my belt, you know, come on, I got some accomplishments too, but I'm going to tell you what, it pales in comparison to eternal life. What would a profit a man to gain the whole world, but then to lose his soul? Anybody in here want to be saved? My God. Anybody want to do more than just be an accomplished person in this lifetime? Anybody want to be saved? Let me hear from the phone. Holler back if you want to be saved. All right, a few of y'all. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I have referenced this a lot, but I want to reference this one more time. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Where we at? What book does this come from? Huh? All right. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the what? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. This is your reward. Amen. This is your reward. Amen. Because of what God did, for because of that borrowed tomb that he got up out of, now I can get up. Amen. Now I don't have to be dead in trespasses and sin. Now because he got up, we're going to all get up. Anybody in here got that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the grave will also quicken your mortal body? Anybody got a hope in eternity? Let me hear you give God some glory today. Yes! My God. Hallelujah. Now, as I hasten to a close, we're still doing real good on time on today. Where did I say that scripture actually came from? That was only one person that caught that, Elder Mike. Amen. I was somebody else. Where does that come from, that story? It comes from Thessalonians. There was a church. Now, hear me today. Hear me today. Lending, when you lend to the, what's the scripture say? We go back to Proverbs, the first one I opened up. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Lendeth unto the Lord. All right. So we have this great chapter in Thessalonians that we often reference. But let me just set this up. That whole church in Thessalonica, please listen to me right now. I want you to hear this. It all started because of Paul and Silas, of course, but there was another man who opened up the doors of his home. And because he opened up the doors of his home, now you're reading this letter called Thessalonians, amen? Because here on Paul's second missionary journey, he comes on down. Let me come on down here because y'all looking like y'all half listening, but I want y'all to hear this. Come on, tune in for a second. So Paul, he's on his second missionary journey. And he's going out here, and he starts off, I believe it's in Philippi, and he has this damsel who's possessed with a demon. And she's walking around, you know, looking probably like some critter and all these type of things. You know, these be the, you know, having these great accolades. And he's saying, and so they rebuke this demon out of this damsel. And so the damsel, she gets delivered. And we know the whole story. Because she gets delivered, now they're mad at him and they throw Paul down in prison. Now, we know in Acts chapter number 16, what happens? And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang praises to God. And there was this great miraculous prison break that happened in Acts chapter number 16. So that's at Philippi. Paul, he leaves Philippi, and the next thing he goes to, he goes on further in Macedonia, and he goes to a place called Thessalonica. When he gets in Thessalonica, he goes into to the synagogue, and he goes there for three Sabbaths in a row. So for about a month long, here Paul is going from Philippi to Thessalonica, and now he's ministering for three Sabbaths in a row, for about a month's time, staying there. Now, whose house did he stay over? Stayed at a man's house by the name of Jason. Acts chapter number 17. Put that on the screen. You don't believe me. All right, so Acts chapter number 17. So he stays in the house of Jason. And while he's there, Paul and Silas, you know, Jason had opened up his house. He's going down there ministering the word of God. But there were some Jews, not only did Paul go on a missionary journey, but there were some Jews who followed him around from place to place. These Judaizers who were mad at him, trying to shut him down. And so they began to get mad at him, and they started to get all the big guys out there. Those are the baser sort, the scripture says. All these lewd fellows, and they bring them all together and get this mob going. And all of a sudden, Paul and Silas, they have to go fleeing from their lives. Amen. But the scripture tells us they grabbed Jason, couldn't find Paul and Silas. So they go, why y'all gonna do me like that? They grabbed Jason out of his house and he appears before the city. Amen. And they said, these are those who have turned the world upside down. Now, find that in my scripture right quick so they can see that I'm not just making this up. Is it on the screen? Check that out. Verse number 6. Everybody read that. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. So it was this man's house, because of him opening up his house, three Sabbaths in a row, Paul is able to minister the word. So what happens to this church? Paul goes off the scene. Let's go over here to Thessalonians chapter number 3. Just stay with me right now. It's real good, Sister Joyce. I'm glad you're getting. I'm going to feed you on today. Amen. All right. So check this out. So Paul, he moves on. He goes now on his next event or next place, and he goes over to Corinth. When he gets there, I can imagine he's distressed. He has to go running for his life. He had to run from his life from Philippi. Now he had to run from his life or for his life in Thessalonica. Now he's in Corinth, and he's probably wondering how the people back in Thessalonica had fared. He's wondering, probably feeling bad. I had to run out of there. I could only stay for three Sabbaths in a row. How are these people doing? Probably praying for them, pleading with God. Keep these people. Thanking God for Jason opening up his home. Praising God for the seeds he was able to plant there. But he's worried about what these people were doing right now. So he sends his follower by the name of Timothy. We know Timothy in the scripture. Timothy goes on down there and he sees how the people fare. In verse number 5, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Come on here, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us what? Good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So what I submit to you today is because of Paul and Silas, and because one man gave to God, lended over his home to God, next thing you know, you got a whole church that is in a major province called Macedonia that's able to reach a whole lot of people. And because somebody lended themselves over to God, lended their home over to God, now we're sitting here today with the hope, reading Thessalonians chapter number 4 about the coming of the Lord and reading about how the dead in Christ are going to rise first. How many people in here just give God the praise on today because of one man One man, amen. Somebody who lended unto God. Next thing you know, we got this whole church that just got started. You don't know what God can do when you would just lend yourself over to the Lord. You don't know what God can do. You take that little bitty check and you put it in God's hand. Lord, stretch this, Lord. I'm not just saying you got to just drop everything. This ain't about that. You know, this is a church. Praise God, this church is doing very well. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, I'm not talking to you all that we still got to twist your arm to get you up to take one little dollar and put it in the offering. You know, come on, your little crumbled up dollar. You can't even have the decency to unfold the thing. I'm not talking to you today. I'm talking to somebody who's a New Testament giver on today. Somebody that is a cheerful giver. I love supporting the work of the God. Amen. This little money or this little possession or this little whatever I have in my hands can only do so much. But I recognize that when I put what I have in the hands of the master, he can stretch this, not just to meet the needs of my own family, my God, but to meet the needs of the whole multitude. How many know there's still a multitude out there that we need to have compassion on? There's still people out there that need to hear the gospel and the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. This church is surrounded by apartments and neighborhoods and folks walking around this place strung out and police going up and down Georgetown Road. Somebody needs somebody to tell them about Jesus. Will you be the one? Come on and give God praise. Come on, somebody, get excited about working for God. Take your little substance, put it in the hands of God. My Lord, borrow the boat. Help me out. Borrow the donkey. Borrow the lunch. Borrow the upper room. Borrowed a tomb, and every time he borrowed something from somebody, it always came back better. Amen. I've asked some of you all to open up your home so we can host small groups. I pray the Lord will bless your home. I'm telling you, I hope he blesses your household. I hope he saves your loved ones. I hope he does the same thing that he did for Cornelius. Amen. The whole house got saved. I hope the Lord just would catch that house on fire. And I'm not talking about physical fire, but I'm talking about a Holy Ghost fire that would go to blazing. Amen. That would save some folks in your neighborhood. Anybody believe what God can do? I wish I had some believers in here. Amen. Somebody that would believe that God can do great things. Amen. God can take that little substance that you have and he can bless it. He can bless it. He can bless it. Now, I was about to go, but I got one more thing for you to go. Read one more. Just give me one more scripture today. Let's go over here to Luke chapter number 12, and I promise you this is it for today. Luke chapter number 12, I believe, verse number 16. Amen. What's your life anyway? While you find it, Luke, let me go over here to James. What's your life? A vapor. Disappear for a little bit of time, you and all your accolades, you and your looking good self, you and your got it together self, you and you living for you, yourself, and I, and anybody with your same last name, and you ain't worried about nobody else. Amen. But your life is just a vapor. It appear for a little while, and then it just passes away. Only what you do for Christ will last. I'm telling you. Some of you all, people will remember you, you know, your little obituary that put it up on the dashboard in their car or in the back, and the sun's going to fade it, and then eventually to find itself in a drawer somewhere and eventually in the trash can with the rest of them. Amen. And your name will be forgotten. Amen. You know, some of y'all, you don't even know what your great-great-grandmother's name is. We just go back a few generations. Come on, great-great. How many people in here remember that? Let's see. I know great-grandmother. Y'all, most of y'all remember great-grandmother. Put your hand up if you remember great-grandmother. Y'all don't even know your great-grandma? Come on here. Who remembers great-great-grandmother? Look at that. Look around the room. Don't even know your great-great-grandmother's name. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. Raise your hand if you don't even know your great-great-grandmother's name. Put your hand up if you don't know it. Look at all these people. I mean, that just shows you how soon, amen, things will be forgotten here. Amen. Only what you do. Come on, y'all. Check in with the pastor right now. Only what you do for Christ. I appeal to you. God can take your life and do a whole lot more with it than what you can. God can take your possessions and your belongings and your things that you have that you hold on to so dearly, and he'll do a whole lot more with it. Come on here, Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. I'm asking the musicians, come on down here and play something. I want everybody to stand right now as we read this. And y'all musicians, y'all try to be in here and get the word. Amen. Get the word, get the word. I want y'all to get the word too. I understand you got to refresh yourself, but don't spend the whole time out there now. Amen. And I say that just because I love you all, okay? Not coming down, not trying to call you out, even though the damage is done. Y'all heal up. Man up, take it. Y'all be all right. Amen. Young men. I want young men getting the word of God. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Verse 17, come on, you read. And he thought within himself, saying, what am I going to do with all this stuff I got? Well, we real good and blessed. Sitting back there belching and carrying on, ooh, patting his belly. I'm real good and blessed. And he thought within himself, saying, where we at? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Come on, next verse. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. I got a 401k. I got all kind of, I got a mutual fund. I got all these investments. You know, I got 3-4 cars. You know, I got all kinds of things. Got a nice inheritance to leave behind to my children, all these things. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse number 20. But God said unto him, hold on now. What matters more? What people saying? What you say? What people say? What trumps all? What does God say? But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who's it going to be? All your kids going to do is just fight over your stuff, divide it up, and take it and spend it on something else. You know, I'm telling you. Give unto the Lord. Come on, put your substance. I'm not just talking about money. Amen. But even though I am, I think some of us, I don't know about anybody in here still paying their tithes and offerings around here. Amen, somebody. Y'all, if in your spirit, when I ask that question, if in your spirit you already bucked back, come on, check your attitude. Ooh, check your attitude. Why you get on a defense when somebody, I ain't begged you for nothing at all. You know, how many people here still believe in giving your talent to the Lord? Ooh, I'm telling you, there were times that I have prayed as a pastor, Lord, take what little I have and take it and multiply it to feed the people. And I've watched God anoint me and take me and use me to help people. Amen, somebody. And God, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you as well. Amen. Amen. Taking your substance, opening up your home, taking somebody out for dinner, doing something nice for somebody. Don't you tell me you don't have nothing to offer. You can offer somebody a kind word. You can offer somebody a smile. You can help somebody. You can shake somebody's hand instead of just worrying about yourself and just running out the door all the time every week. Call somebody throughout the week. Anybody in here still check on folk? Anybody in here? Let me just see you check on people. Amen. Anybody in here still believe in telling folks that you love them? You don't know when the last time it is you're going to see somebody. Anybody still believe in letting go of grudges? Watch out now. Watch out now. Amen. All right. Let it go. It's not worth it. Not worth it. Not worth it. Not worth it. Only what you do for Christ will last. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I am so grateful. Oh, Shama Taye. Lord, I am so thankful for those, Lord God, who are willing enough to open up their homes, Lord, even to host these small groups, God. Father, even right now, before I dismiss this congregation to go sign up, Lord, I'm praying a blessing on their household, God. Oh, Father, I know somebody, this is taking somebody out of their comfort zone, but I'm praying, God, that as they take a step in the right direction, that you would even bless them, Lord. I pray, God, we know that you don't leave anything, you don't borrow anything without returning it back, Lord, even better than what you borrowed it, God. I'm praying, God, that as they lend to the Lord, that you would bless them, that you would even help them. I'm praying for their children to be saved. I'm praying for that next door neighbor to be saved, God. I'm praying, God, for people on their job, Lord God, to be saved, Lord. And I'm praying for this church to feel that love and camaraderie and fellowship and support, God. Bless Agape to really be the church that will love people to life. Use us for your glory. We love you on today. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody give the Lord one more praise today. Amen. Now, listen. I really feel like already in advance, we've already had our altar call, but I want to extend that one more time. I've already done that during praise service, but is there anybody, even in the middle of the service, somebody went down in Jesus' name? Anybody in here want to be baptized in Jesus' name one more time? Anybody need the Holy Ghost at this point? You can come one more time. We're opening up this altar again. This is probably about the second or third time we've done it already. Amen. But if you need the Holy Ghost or if you need baptism in Jesus' name, you can come at this time. Amen. Amen, amen.